then they must leave us.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members of the Audio Committee. My name is Amber Lamin, and I'm the Chairperson of the National Library of South Africa. I've got two of my colleagues next to me, Mr. Pamayela, who is the acting CEO just for November period. Because our new CEO is joining us in December. Behind us is Ms. Blessing Mawire. She is the acting board secretary. So these are the two people that are here. Honorable Chairperson, that's the outline of the presentation. And I thought it would be important to just give a chronology of how we ended up where we are in as far as the investigation is concerned. This was done a year and 3 months ago. And during that period, we had a new board that was coming on board. And the investigation was initiated by the board, the old board, before it term came to an end, and when the final report of the first investigation was then concluded, then the new board was installed, and I was then also appointed for my second term as the chairperson and two other board members. So we had three board members that were stated as board members of the institution. I thought it's important to give that background because the presentation that I'm going to make may create some other uncertainties in terms of how we have responded to the investigation. So what we did, we also took the cue from the invite, but based on what I heard in the previous presentation, you are more than welcome to provide the portfolio committee with a final report of the first investigation. This came as a result of the whistleblower. Whistleblower who made those 10 allegations that are reflected on the board. And this whistleblower presented the issues to a board member, and that board member, before our term ended, we had an in-committee meeting, and immediately after that, we then instituted an investigation. But before we went to getting an external service provider, we looked at the 3-year rollout plan of the internal audit committee. Because in most of the internal audit committees, we have an ad hoc function, which you can always add on, depending on if you have permission. And at that time, we looked at the value, and it was not possible to accommodate the request via the internal audit committee. Hence, we went outside to seek an external investigator who was obviously appointed using our supply chain management. And just quickly, the cost to the for this investigation or this report was actually 142,000 rands. That's the ballpark figure, and the investigation was done for 2 months. But I'll show that in the future. So the allegations were, as I said, there were 10. One was on ineffective leadership, substandard employee engagement, improper behavior, inadequate reporting, regular destruction, removal or abuse of records and equipment, irregular procurement practices, irregular application of Chapter 4 of the National Library of South Africa regulation, unprofessional behavior, maladministration or financial misconduct, handling or reporting of money, financial transactions, or other aspects. And the other one was on maladministration, financial misconduct, in handling and reporting of money, financial transaction or other assets. So the two, there were specific, recommendations. That's why we repeated them again. And then the last part of my presentation is around the second whistleblower, which I did not go into detail, but I will indicate where we are. So this was the scope that were given to the service provider to review the allegations and gather data and information. And obviously execute the investigation and provide us a report within 2 months. That is before, we were hoping that we'll do that before the new board or the board left or exited. So this is the implementation plan that we designed when we got the allegation, to say that we have 6 areas of deliverables. They were all timed, the starting point and the completion date. And as I've said, the last deliverable was a full presentation of the investigation on the 31st of October. Now, the first investigation, the first allegation talked about ineffective leadership, and there were 5 recommendations. So each and every allegation had specific recommendations, a number of recommendations. And on the basis of those recommendations, we then gave a board's response in terms of how the recommendations have been handled. So I use a dashboard approach, meaning that anything that is in green, it means that we have implemented. And then anything that is in yellow, there we are saying the recommendations based on a legal opinion may not necessarily be applicable for implementation. Because the new board, before they could adopt the recommendation, they sought legal opinion from a forensic investigator to say that because we are a new board, can we make a decision or implement this decision? Because we were not party to the previous work of the board. So they sought a legal opinion, and we wanted to make sure that whatever we implement, at least we have a bit of comfort in terms of the legal opinion. Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, I'm not going to read the recommendations of the state, but I'm just going to touch on those that are perhaps maybe controversial or that need a bit of clarity. The second allegation was around the substandard employee engagement. And then there were 6 recommendations in that regard. There was one around and the paragraphs that are being referred to in the presentation are actually part of the report, which I'm quite happy to share it with the members. But the recommendations 6.1 to 6.5 are actually the recommendations of the previous allegations. In other words, if I can go back, these are the 5 recommendations. So when I refer to paragraph this to this, they are actually referring to those particular recommendations. Now, in that regards, Honorable Chairperson and members, there were 6 allegations around the substandard employee engagement, and of the 6, the 5 were implemented. And the 6th recommendation was on organizational structure, and that is work in progress. So the yellow will represent work in progress. In other words, after we have looked at the structure of the organization, we then embark on assessing whether the structure that is within the NLSA, is it aligned to the act of the NLSA, and that is work in progress. And I think when we report in our next meeting, we'll obviously give a perspective of what progress has been. But there are just some that were quite clear. One of the recommendations is that the board of the NLSA must appoint an HR and Nomination Committee in as far as dealing with the allegations. But at the time when the board received the report, the board was already in place. And in the first meeting of the board, we then set up the governing bodies of the board. In other words, your Audit and Risk Committee was set up. Human Resource Remuneration Committee was also. So all the governing bodies of the board were all put in place. So by the time the report was presented to this board, some of this were already in place. Hence, I'm saying that they were already implemented. And then there was a third one that says that the committee, HR and AMCO must start the process of engaging the employees and relevant labor unions in an attempt to restore trust in the board. That has been done through the interim CEO. And let me just add a pause here so that there are no issues that may come up and say the chairperson did not disclose this. After the contract of the CEO, which was not renewed, the board then decided to appoint an interim CEO. And we were guided by the department to say that the board can look amongst themselves to appoint an interim CEO. And that particular person, once he acts in that particular position, will then be moved from the board. However, the approach we took was to get one of the board members to be seconded by the entity where he's full-time. So we have a board member who was acting in the interim position, and the organization that seconded to him to us was CIPC, which is a DTI institution. And the name of the board member is Mr. Nemar Sewa. So he was interimly, holding the fort during that period, till some time that we get a new CEO appointed and other positions in the field. So during that period, he then did, and I'm just trying to elaborate on the relationship between labor and trust. So he was able to, please restore order and create a relationship building with the unions and drilling into what were their main concerns. And all their concerns was around the lack of implementing labor-related disputes in the organization, the time it takes to resolve. So he was able to restore. And as we can speak, I think the institution, together with the two organized labor institutions, the relationship is out to sweat. So we have done. So that's why I'm saying five out of six were able to implement all those recommendations, and one is still working progress. Moving on to the third recommendation that deals with improper behavior. Now, one was saying charge the CEO with misconduct. The other one was saying charge the CEO, suspend the CEO. And on the basis of the legal opinion that we received externally, as I said, the view was that there wasn't sufficient evidence that could push us to do all of those three things. Because one, there was no prima facie evidence that existed on the allegations around the misconduct of the CEO, and as a result, we could not do anything around this. And bearing in mind, as I've said earlier on, that the investigation was done for within two months. So it was a pressure group from us. And the fourth one was to conduct a full financial audit and a logbook for audit of the logbooks for the company vehicle that the former CEO was using. So that is now work in progress, because it's now being attended to in the second whistleblowing exercise, which has been, which has started, and it will also end by end of December. And then there was a third one. The other recommendation was around the board of the NLSA to appoint an audit and risk committee, and I think that I've already touched on. Continuing with this particular allegations, as I said, there were a number of them. There's one that also refers to the audit committee to generate policy in line with the South African tax legislation. That is work in progress, because it's part of the agenda of the audit and risk committee to report on a quarterly basis on legal compliance in as far as all the legal or all the laws that are governing the NLSA, including the PFMA and other related legislation. So So that is work in progress. The last one was on the appointment of an audit committee in consultation with the director, where they can generate an awareness campaign in terms of the policies and all that. The standard practice is every policy that gets generated by the institution, we have an intranet within the institution where it is getting posted. But in addition to that, there is also consultation with the staff in terms of making them aware of the policy. And when a staff member joins the organization, he or she gets put through in the induction process of what are the policies and legislation covering the entity. So that is the time. Now, inadequate reporting is again, we need to, there's a recommendation to appoint the HR committee to attend to all and future appointments. That has been done. Currently, we have a CFO vacancy that has been initially the candidate agreed and he decided to decline and not join the organization after we have made him an offer. So in the event, I can ask the question, what happened? So what we have done is to then say to the incumbent that you have accepted the offer, then you have to recoup what amount of money that you have spent getting to the point of your friend. In other words, all the costs that we have incurred to get to appoint that particular individual, he or she will have to repay us back, because that's an only credit. And you could only do it because a letter of appointment, and he has actually accepted the letter of appointment. So that's why we are able to. The rest is around the HR committee to attend to all and any future claims made against employees at the director level. That is being implemented because it's a standard agenda item for the HR committee to look at all matters pertaining to human resources, including policies, labor disputes, and the like. And in turn, the HR committee will then provide the board with that particular report. Again, there's another recommendation that talks about an institutional-wide campaign in as far as HR policies are concerned, and I think I've touched on that. So that is being the other one was on inadequate reporting again, qualified and independent board secretary, accountable to the, this was a very tricky one, because under no circumstances does a board secretary account to the DDG. But be as it may, we will say that the recommendation itself didn't make sense. Because if one reads it like that, it will say that the DDG in the department was responsible for institutional governance is responsible for the appointment of the board secretary. And now says no. So the board is responsible for the appointment of the board secretary. And you normally follow the respective King Four Code of Practice. So that's, and that is the reason why we have an acting board secretary, because we are in the process of appointing. Irregular distractions, removal, or abuse of records. I think the day it was the Audit and Risk Committee to review and update the access control, that is being implemented. Again, irregular procurement practices, which is a second recommendation, an ad hoc committee to review and update the supply chain policies. The Audit and Risk Committee is already looking into the review of all the SM supply chain management policies. So that is what that is being done. And then in the other recommendation, does it include a technical skills include technical skills in any SM supply chain committee? The thing with including a technical skill, we normally will liaise with National Treasury to assist us in that, because we don't just go outside and look for a technical skill. But normally the person who would seek a particular service, let's say Dr. Mayapo, who is responsible for the call, if he's looking for a specific service, he will then be the custodian of making sure that the bid specifications are structured to satisfy his or her requirements. So that's what it's very rare that you will go outside the institution, and if we do go outside, we seek a National Treasury support. the regular application of Chapter 4 of the NRSA, there were 8 recommendations, and there's one that is under consideration of the review of the regulation, that is work in progress, with a new restructuring for the DAC institution. That may perhaps change, but that can be determined as and when. And then the other one was that the board, in consultation with the director of communications, the marketing, to generate, again, you will find that some of the recommendations in the report kept on repeating themselves in response to most of the allegations. But that, as I said, is in new communication. And then we have the same repeat about the CEO being charged with misconduct, and the executive director, Paul Crone, for misconduct, and public services also to be charged with misconduct. And again, we're saying there's no prima facie evidence that will allow us to do that. The regular application of Chapter 4 should continue. There was also an issue around that one of the victims in the case related to December 2014 findings of an independent chairperson against the then the director, Center for the Group, must receive trauma counseling and the like. The second one was, the seventh one was the victim in the case of the related case which happened in December 2014, that there must be a wave of, the library, making some reward of some sort, and also taking the respective official to task in terms of bullying and the like. And then we are saying on those two that there isn't any evidence to support this conclusion, and only a high court law and the high court can determine the damages for the electoral claims after a course of action has been satisfied. So we as a board, we felt Armstrong to say that we can implement this kind of recommendation. Unprofessional behavior, there was one recommendation where the investigation could not make a conclusion. So it's an inconclusive evidence. So if there's an inconclusive evidence, then there's not much you can do in terms of implementation. Because you don't know what you're going to act on if the recommendation cannot be concluded by the hospital. On maladministration or financial misconduct, one was the board of the NRSA appoint an ICT committee without delay that is already in place, and then the information committee together with HR launched an internal investigation into the specific circumstances that led to the overspending on data usage that is also in implementation. Maladministration continued, there was recommendations. One was on the HR with the ARC to make sure that implementation of the relevant ERP system is in working order, including verification of integrity of data. That is being implemented. Now, I've done a summary of how many recommendations were in place, how many we have attended to, how many do not have legal basis, and how many are in working progress, and how many are not. So if one looks at the table, out of 40 recommendations coming from the allegation, 22 of them were implemented. 12 were not, there wasn't any legal basis, and 4 are working progress, and 2 on the right. So that completes the first part of the first report on whistleblowing. And then we have now started with the second whistleblowing, which is more detailed. And in that regard, as I said, when the report was presented to us, as you can see, the investigator received the whistleblowing issues at almost 2 o'clock on the 16th of October 2018. So that is being attended to. And by the end of December, we will have a report which we can provide the portfolio committee members with what progress we have made. So that is the end of my presentation, Honorable Chairperson. But before we conclude, there were labor relations issues in case I can pass. because some of them emanate from unresolved cases and the like. So these were the issues that were raised. These are the following stuff where were resolved and the decisions were taken to implement accordingly. Now we have, I'm sorry to do this, but I'll have to mention the names here. We have Dr. Komuzo Marumu, who was suspended and she went to the CCMA, and after a year she won her case and she was reinstated. That's what happened. So this were as a result of the witnesses in terms of following due process with regard to the issues that were affecting Dr. The second one is Mr. Mashudu, who also was suspended by the former CEO, and he went to the CCMA arguing that he should not be taken through a disciplinary process. Eventually, because of what he had proposed to us to settle out of court, we then agreed as a board to endorse that the interim CEO engaged Mr. Mashudu, I mean Mr. Mabungo, on the settlement, and his contract was going to end next year. And out of the 11 months that we are remaining, he was able to accept a 6 months offer. So instead of paying for the duration of the 11 months, we reduced it to 5 months. So to settle out of, because it was basically going to tax us to continue. And with the former CEO, Professor Rokilio Ralibipi Semela, also after the contract was, she was informed that the contract will not be renewed, she also took us to the CCMA, which was normal, and then the CCMA made the ruling in the favor of the institution. So there are no questions. There is a case, I think members may have received something of this nature. It's a Brian Mabasameta, which is in High Court, and he's suing the NSA board, the former CEO, and the Department of Arts and Culture. So three of the institutions are involved in this. So this matter is still sub judice. Then there's another matter which is related to Mr. Matunza, who also initially was suspended, and when there was a time to basically dismiss him, that is when the previous director did not act in accordance to the instruction that was given to him by the CEO, that is Mr. Mabungu, and as a result, the institution was not able to back up his argument in as far as the dismissal of Mr. Tumza, who is then the CCMA made the ruling that he must be reinstated. Now, on Mr. Machunza, I think it's important to inform the Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members of the Committee that he was supposed to be reintegrated into the institution. His case is around sexual harassment. And we had to manage his reintegration because the unions were of the view that they would not want to see Mr. Machunza on the premises of the institution. So we have delayed his reintegration into the, he was supposed to have been back on campus by November. We have delayed until the end of the financial year so that we are able to look at what other possible measures we can embark on to find a way of resolving. He is a permanent employee, so you can't negotiate section. He's a permanent employee, and we are trying our level best to try and come up with an amicable way of resolving the matter. So again, Honorable Chairperson and the members, we'll obviously give you feedback once we have resolved the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Chairperson. We welcome the presentations. Chairperson, maybe I wanted not to go back, but to ask Mithi, I wonder what was the context of the letter. And when someone analyzes the letter, come in account, we tend to don't account on finances. I wonder, how do you analyze the letter from the chairperson, our chairperson? Because when you come in account, you account on allegations of misconduct and all these 10 allegations, but the financial implication, unless you account on the court dates only. Now, Chair, I think you must read our letter first. It's our letter because you wrote it on our behalf. Because it's same style of leadership that when they account on allegations, they don't tell us about finances. Now, one I'll raise, the AG has recommended this entity, they gave them qualified with findings. In fact, we call you purple. We gave them colors. There's yellows, you are purple in our blocks. We have a criteria that we use, and your entity, it's purple. And this purple, you ask yourself, when are you going to go to yellow? The yellow, it's clean one. And you're not clean. And one of the allegations or issues that they've, it's go to 2.9, 2.10. Those are so important on your first slide. It's maladministration, financial misconduct. Those are basic principle when you start an entity, that you must have policies of finances. Now, on your presentation, you've been saying ongoing, how did the department fund you without policies? Basic policies of finances. Now, what criteria did the department, I think the department must come on board here. Give us, someone comes and asks for funding, what do you look for? Because they must have policies, basic principles of finances, internal controls. They don't have them, but you're funding them. It's ongoing. Issues of importance, labor relation, they don't have policies. It's ongoing. Those are basic principles. If I fund you, I must know what policies are you working on. Because I wrote here, Chair, they don't have basic policies, work relation policies. All things are supply chain, ongoing. They don't have policy, it's ongoing. Now how did you, in other words, this allegation, and Chair, I don't even understand, why is the chairperson of a National Library Association, out of all part two, you give us this sexual harassment allegation or misconduct, I don't know what you call it, but all the CEO, Dr. Mukhumutsi, Mr. Mashudu, Professor God, we don't know what is happening. Because it's settled, but we don't know exactly what happened to them. I know Guti, you'll tell Jabu, you have the minutes again. You'll give us the reports. You know? I'm saying Guti, your executive summary again, Chairperson, it's still an executive summary. And we don't know exactly what are the issues, but I'll ask you on what I've asked, why don't you have basic policies? And when you say ongoing, till when, you must have a turnaround time saying January next year, all these policies will have those policies, because ongoing, it's a political statement. It's not even, you're saying it's soon, it can be after I left in 2024, because there's no time frame. I'll propose that you have time frame for all those ongoing or in progress policies that you have. And I wanted to find out, Chair, who came with this recommendation? My colleague said I must ask this question first and then you'll follow up. These are the recommendations. From where?
Investigation group.
From where? From Koboto? I'm sucking. From Mandla's Tole? Oh. Who came with this recommendation after these allegations were made? Chair, I'll leave it for my colleague. And the former CEO, you know, you know, one of the things that you make our life difficult for us to Google issues using the media. Professor Rudy, I saw an article now, just Google quickly, the former CEO. Tell us more, I must not rely on the media. what was the issue with him? And another policy, you know, I nearly forgot. Your department asked you to appoint an interim committee, interim CEO. Didn't you have a policy in place on appointing if someone resigned? Those are basic things. Now I'll urge that in future we need a clean audit from this department, and they must tell us next financial year they're going to give us a clean audit with all the policies that are still ongoing. There was an issue, Chair, I'll come back later. I don't see. Yeah. Ubabu, who's this? Mandla, my news ask us to pronounce this name. Mr. Mandla, Machumza. He's getting paid, but he's at home. How much is he getting paid? Till 2020. Now, the chairperson was asking us, how can we investigate using people's taxpayers' money? I'm asking you, someone is getting paid at home. How much is he getting paid to date? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Even though we have this presentation, I must say for new members, if we don't have a background of the cases, it makes it very difficult because we actually sit here and we can also say, like on most of the pages that the board says, we actually don't have no evidence before us. So you mentioned in the beginning that the cost for the 2 month investigation was 142,000. I would like to know who did the investigation, and is this party who did the investigation then the party that also made the recommendations? The reason I ask that is also, before I go there, I also just want to find out on recommendations improper behavior. You mentioned that an audit is still in progress with regards to the, I suspect it's the logbooks. So how can the investigation be completed, but there's still outstanding audits that's not been concluded or included in this? And how long has it been in progress? Then it's a matter of concern for me that this investigation team, it is true, on a few of the pages I actually see that it says no evidence exists. No, the board has no evidence. So what did this investigation team brought before you? They made certain recommendations. On what did they make it, and why did they not present it to the board so that you can actually act on the recommendations or implement then on that? So that's part of my concern. I would also like the labour relation cases, if we can just have a short summary maybe really to see what it was about. And then the last page on the sexual harassment one, who did that investigation? And if there's such a reverse reaction from the personnel and the union, etc., how is it possible that the outcome of that, is it the same entity or the same body that did the investigation? Because if the outcome is so negative for the entity, library, entity, how come is the outcome of that investigation in such a manner that it actually no one is happy or satisfied? Was there no proper, why was the investigation in the first place if there wasn't proper evidence to? And also the case of the High Court case, what is it about? Why did that person feel that he actually can go that far, and what will the cost implications be? Because it's important that we know, are you fighting this case, who's paying for that, and what has been spent on it? And if this person win, will the people that's involved be liable for individually for the outcome? Because that's a problem that the chairperson previously mentioned, that people take people to court, it's the taxpayers' money, and we should actually hold the people accountable that run to the court regularly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Even though still, I as the new member of the committee, I'm just in the dark and I'm trying to find out exactly what we are dealing with right now. And the question would be like, if can there be any official document that are stipulating the recommendations that we are talking about, so that we know exactly what you're talking about here and what the outcome of everything was. And because you talked about 132,000 within 2 months of dealing with this, and how was it divided, and who got paid what and why. Still on the intimacy, I don't know whether I call it right, intimacy plan that you had to get to hire a CEO amongst yourselves as a company. How is it that a CEO was appointed amongst yourselves? And is that the new organizational design that you were talking about on that you, now you have an organizational design that is in progress, which is working. Then still on the whistleblowers, you said the on that table, you have work in progress, like you mentioned that there are four people there. Are these the ones that are still debating with the court, or like Mr. Mashud, the ones that you're busy trying to get the settlement with, if I got this question right? Basically, is Mr. Mashud one of the four people that you're busy still discussing with? As you said, you know, the only four that are work in progress. And have you got plans in place to avoid the situation of having to deal with the similar cases like Mr. Mashulu's? And thank you. I will have.
No, thank you, Chairperson. One is going to start by welcoming the presentation. Chairperson. But Chair, I think one is getting lost on the presentation, because when I look at the agenda, the item that we are currently discussing now is the briefing on the investigations and outcomes. But when I look at this presentation, it's more of an action plan on the issues that have been raised by either the independent or private investigator that was investigating the issues or allegations raised by the first whistleblower, as indicated in the report. Chair, I think maybe in the next meeting, the board should, before they provide us with the action plan that we need to monitor from time to time, maybe to also provide on the first page a brief background or overview, so that us as the new members will be in a position to understand what transpired, what were the main or the root causes of this particular investigation to take place. Chair, there is one limitation that one is observing is that maybe somewhere, somehow, the board is ruthless. I don't know. I need to get a clarity whether is it, don't intimidate me with your eyes. I think, Chair, I need to be educated as well. If is it an executive board or advisory board, I need also to get that. And also, Chair, I don't know, maybe I arrived very late. I see that the majority of the guests that I hear are maids. So I'm not sure if is it gender represented. In terms of gender parity, how is the composition of the board? Secondly, Chair, why do I say I feel that the board is toothless is that one of the responsibilities of the board, whether it's an advisor or executive board, is to provide a strategic direction in the entity or agency to play an oversight role as well as to advise when necessary. But Chair, I think they need to try to intensify their role for us to be able to get where we want to get. But also, Chair, I see here that, I think there are no numbers here, but it's page number 3, under substandard employee engagement. Where the board's response is indicating that they are still in the process of designing the organizational structure or revisiting or reviewing, and where they say they are still in the process of conducting a full financial audit, and where there is no clear response on when are they envisaged to actually employ or appoint this qualified independent board secretary and chair. So now I'm getting lost. I just want to get a clarity who is playing this role in this board of being the independent board secretary, and when do they envisage to actually finalize or complete the process of reviewing their organizational structure and the to conduct a full financial audit of the logbooks of the vehicles. And Chair, I think maybe in the next meeting they need also to also provide us with the finances, maybe to provide us with the even if it's just a brief financial report of the department and as well as the what is it, as well as the financial implications as far as the audits or the investigations is consent. Thank you, Chair.
Another boy.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I'm not going to focus on the bubbles and other things because it's really quite helpful. I want to stop that question. I want to know about the method that they're using to popularize yourselves. So that another person who is sitting there or a township or a shareholder can know about this NLSA. We only see you during the library week once a year. After that, you are only waiting for another 12 months. And so what kind of method are you using to organize yourselves with communities? Because we need, as part of social cohesion, we need everything country or everything nation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also welcome the great presentation. It's possible I may repeat questions. Apologies. My first question is, what was the whistle blowing about? What did this whistleblower's haste that led to the board initiating an investigation? And did the board do their due diligence to see whether the whistleblower, whatever the whistleblower is raising, warrants the investigation? I'm asking that question because when the report comes, the board seems to be contradicting that report. And I don't know why was it investigated. But at the same time, I see this investigation from a colleague that way, more on organizational redesign than on what, even if I don't know what was it, and on what the whistleblowers were alleging. Maybe it is because it's not clear. The issue of labor relations, in the presentation of the chairperson, the emphasis was because the CCMA ruled, therefore we have to comply. We need to be good. Yes, as far as I know, the CCMA is only, it's not fine. If you're not happy, you are convinced you can still appeal until you reach the group of court. The CCMA to start with mediation. I don't know whether the ruling was at the level of safety, but you can still appeal. Especially when you look at the case here, sexual harassment. Where we are in the union, as I see, the unions are united against that reinstatement. But the board seems to be already, the person is reinstated because the person is ending. But the board is not challenging that ruling, because the board believed when you investigated that this really happened. You're not appealing that ruling to make sure that you exhaust all these things, because the issue of sexual harassment is a serious orientation, especially during this time where the country is experiencing this many cases where sexual harassment. So my question is, why you seem to be content with the ruling of CCMA, who seem not to be challenging those rulings in the form of the working. Again, on the settlement of one employee for company who settled for 6 months and the contract was left with. You are happy to see that there's savings. We think so. Yes, because he almost bought his contract out. Basically, he doesn't lose anything. It's not a punishment. Because if I'm left with 11 months, you want to pay me for 11 months. I'll be happy to get. Parliament says I'll pay you for the next 4 years, but stay at home. I'll be very happy. So it's not necessarily a punishment for me. 6 months, 7 months to me. I'll try to take it back. So those are my questions.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Let me also welcome the presentation. But can I put that as this committee, when we're having our AKPs, we have recommended to the department that entities, they are tooling and the way of accounting the department has altered people. As we're sitting here listening, tomorrow the department, I'm suspecting, is coming to us with the proposed of what paper. We scrutinize that white paper. We're saying that don't cut all these entities, but you must try to check that you can't maybe infuse some of them, because a lot of money of this department is going to these entities which are 26, which is not wrong, because we do want deliverables. But if the tools of monitoring or the problems that the department is going through, as we're sitting here, we're talking about investigations. What does that mean to us? It tells that we were right when we were saying that white paper in order that we must minimize these entities. We said they must look at not to take away development entities that they are assisting. But when you are sitting here, having not in some entities that they cannot give us answers, but also 2 weeks ago, Honorable Mhlongo, I emphasized on behalf of Omidi to our secretaries that there's no way that any entity coming to the committee to account not having financial statement. Maybe you were not here and about it was on sports. We even saying that immediately that you must come in account. How do you account without financial statements? Maybe I'm saying this in order that even next time, maybe our secretaries must be writing black and white. You complained and were saying that it's a norm when we were coming to the committee, which the department did give you the money, you must come in account. Don't talk figures which you are not seeing. So if it was not indicated, but I don't think that these entities are formed yesterday, and I do believe that these are professionals, these people. That's why we do some things respect you, but you can't be professional if you've forgotten the essence of what it can present you for professionality, that you did get money and you have done ABC and now you are accounting to the committee. We are doing oversight to our own department. If it's themselves who is not doing right, but immediately that we've seen that 26 entities, and every now and then we are going to court, every now and then others are chowing the money, and that money collectives as they are, they will one out of themselves go and withdraw money. Before we send it to the city press, it was like that, and it's then we took a decision that these entities must be cut off. So, which means by tomorrow we'll be having that white paper. And in that white paper, we're not saying we want to be brutal as if we're not belonging in South Africa. But the reality there is a problem, and to solve the problem we want that white paper, in order that when you are here we can understand what is going on, what are you doing. I cannot repeat what honourable members are saying. We are all new in this committee. Maybe some of us from other previous committees were used to give a detail, not a summarized version. So we apologize that we cannot not ask the fully fledged report, especially that this is the sixth parliament. You are coming to the new faces that we were not anyhow, we were actually, I'm coming for the first time in parliament. And as the chairperson, I was asked by the members of this committee to say, call these entities, ours in particular, to come and present. But you do come with a summary version. In parliament, we always have new faces. So, we do advise that every now and then bring copies. You don't bring, you send copies in advance in order that you must read. And when you're coming, put your summary, and then we do understand what are you summarizing. So by that, thank you for the briefing. If I can give it to back to assist us with the questions and maybe the suggestions that you are putting, that you must take note of those suggestions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the committee. Maybe it's a lesson learned that perhaps the first part that has been raised by on the financial availability, I think the chairperson and the committee commit, we can then, when it's resubmit, if that is permissible, with all this information, and we have the financial behind this issue, if that's permissible, we can do that. So that is the proposal, given the fact that most of the members are begging you. The issue around the question that was raised about policies, the institution has policies. The recommendations that were made by an external, and I'm answering two questions at the board, the recommendations were made by an independent service provider. So these were not recommendations coming from inside, but from outside. And when the recommendations were made, they basically looked at the outline of members, the issues that are stipulated, those allegations that are stipulated, those are the allegations in a more detailed report. You have one letter that stipulates this allegation. And the investigator had to take the letter and then package it in a particular way and then make a recommendation. So, and as I said, we will make the report available to the member, because the report had two phases. Because if one looks at the timetable that I've made here, we said because we don't have a lot of time as an outgoing board, we needed to do specific things so that we're not being seen as not addressing the issue. So it was incumbent upon us not to ignore the allegations. implications and take them seriously. That's why we took this one. And we took the risk of saying, can we manage this allegation within a short space of time? So there was an issue of time that also played had a bearing on the report. So the policies, honorable member, we do have policies, but when there's reference to specific policies in the recommendations, they are related to the actual finding that was made by the investigator against the allegations. So when there's reference to say, look at policies, it is as a result of the allegation that was made in that regard. But we do take the point that in the resubmission, we will obviously clear those particular issues. Who made the recommendation? I think I've said it was done by an external service provider, and the I did indicate the value was actually 142,000. Mm-hmm. You can also give a breakdown of that 142,000. And if one looks at those deliverables, they were actually cost. They were broken into two phases. Phase one was saying if you complete up to this point, this is what you will pay. If you phase two, so there were three phases in the report, which I think we will make available to the members. And there was then an issue around, if I'm not mistaken, about what were the issues with regards to the CEO. Am I correct? Yeah. So the CEO was appointed for 5 years. In the contract, we stipulate that your contract can be renewed subject to performance. But then the board took a decision to say, let's test the market. We did not renew the contract of the CEO. Right? Besides that, the clause that is in the contract. We then communicated to the CEO, the former CEO, that the board has resolved not to renew the contract. We will test the market. And you are more than happy to accept. And that is in writing. So that we can also provide to the members. It's not hearsay. So we will provide, and then the CEO then took us to the CCMA to say that there was a reasonable expectation that a contract will be renewed. And the outcome of that was not in her favor, it was in the favor of the institution. So that's what happened to the CEO, the former CEO, Dr. Ranbibi Smith. And then the other question that was raised was around the appointment of an interim CEO. Is that correct, if I got it correctly? Why did we appoint maybe the process? I think I'll link it to the other question to say that Is it a norm that the board will, amongst themselves, look for an interim CEO? And that's the last resort. And we did liaise with the colleagues from the department to say, that what do we do here? Because we had an opportunity to appoint an interim CEO, which is a gentleman sitting next to me, at that time. But at that time, he was not in a position to act. And he did articulate it. There was even an appointment letter granted to him to say that we want you to act between the spirit and the period, which you can see. And unfortunately, one cannot force an individual to act in a particular role when they are not comfortable and they provided reasons why they are not able to act. So on that basis, we then say to the department, can you help us to resolve this problem? Because what's the best way? And they advise us to say that you look amongst yourself. It has been done in other institutions where you'll have an interim CEO appointed from the board. But that particular board member must step down from the board proceedings. So with regard to Mr. Lemasorani, he was not a board member. Okay, he was actually seconded by CIPC, his former, his employer, to act as an interim CEO. And the process we follow, because the office is based in Gauteng, Victoria, we then said there are four members in the board who stay or reside in Gauteng to manage the cost and the like. So four members had either to raise their hand, including myself. I wanted to raise my hand to say I wanted to be the interim CEO, and so which in that process, only one member agreed that they will act as an interim CEO, and this is a gentleman who is employed by CIPC. So the rest of the board members, I think we are four or five of us, we declined to act in the interim. And people gave different reasons. Some were saying, well, they are not competent enough to run this organization, they don't have, you know, a CEO experience. And so that's how we ended up with the compromise. Now, there was also the issue around Mr. Machunza and as to him getting paid while sitting at home. It's a difficult decision that the board made because I'm just being reminded by Mr. Mayapa here that the chairperson who was presiding over the case, and I said the CCMA, and I apologize for that, it's not actually the CCMA. The chairperson made a ruling, who was presiding over the case, to say that Mr. Machunza's case, the NLSA does not have a compelling case, doesn't have merit in terms of suspending him, and he has to be reinstated and be given a final written warning, which will see in his file for 12 months. So that was the ruling by the chair. And then the question was why, and I'm trying to link it together with the Honorable Member's question as to why did we not challenge the matter. And the board deliberated on it to say that will that make financial sense or not to pursue the matter. So finance was one part, but finance, the financial aspect was not a key determinant. The key determinant is about the environmental institution. To say that if you bring back an individual into an institution where it's glaringly clear that it's going to affect the morale of the staff, what do you do? So the board was caught in a situation. And then we said, we're not necessarily wanting to buy time, but we wanted to say, what is the best way of resolving this problem? Whether we should go the review process and appeal this matter or not. So the board was still deliberating on the issue. And we thought it was prudent for us to not allow him to reintegrate into the system now, because already there was a fallout between the NLSA and labor. So that is the reason why we got to where we are as far as Mr. Machunza's case is concerned. And then Honorable Member Van Beek asked a question around who did the investigation. I think I've covered that. It was done by an independent service provider.
The name.
The name.
Yes.
Nick Oliphant. Nick Oliphant was the investigator, and as I've said to the Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members, I will provide you the proof. It was from the beginning up to where we are, and what were the recommendations. They were made by Nick Oliphant, the investigator. So that's the name of it. And then the issue around the logbook, why is it being attended now and not earlier on? In the report, which I will provide, you will then see that because of time pressures, the mandate was to do the investigation within 2 months. And all the issues could not be dealt with within 2 months. But in the second whistleblowing, which is also another detailed allegations, which we will share with the committee, in there, there's the company that we have appointed to do the investigation that will conclude its findings. I can't remember the name of the partner, but there's a company that was appointed to do the second whistleblowing at a cost of 193,104,000. So that is a new company, not the same one, to do the detailed investigation on the second whistle, because the previous investigator was not able to address all of this because of the time frame. And then on labor relations cases, I think here there was an issue around which I've tried to touch on. The one was on Mr. Machunza. The other one was on Dr. Marumo. which I've tried to answer, to say that she was initially, dismissed, and eventually she went to the CCMA, and it took about a year, if I'm not mistaken. And then CCMA ruled inactive. So in that case, we're not able to challenge that particular ruling, because all steps were followed to try to address it. So going to the labor court was just going to be another, not just a financial hurdle, but also an administrative hurdle for me. So that is the only case apart from the one of Mr. Mahung, who we settled for 6 months instead of 11. And again, the cases were dragging day in, day out. Every time there's a city, there's going to be a postponement. And then the postponement means that you have to pay for legal services. So this case, when there was a sitting, it was postponed, not once, not twice. So then at the end of the day, the question was, how far do you want to prolong this particular case? Okay. And then it was actually his approach to say that perhaps there is consideration that the NSA should just allow me to go, because my contract is coming to an end anyway, in 11 months. So we looked at it from that particular perspective. Say that if his contract is coming to an end in 11 months' time, okay, instead of paying him the 11 months, we pay him 6 months. That was a negotiation. So again, we'll have to explain that to the Auditor General as to why we have incurred that particular expense. Because the Auditor General will raise it as to present. But we'll have to make a compelling case to argue our case why we have to settle for that particular scenario. And then the High Court.
Thank you.
Because this information, we need it. And this is the first these members to hear. So now, in the first one, the second one will be needing written information. Because it can't be fair now. 20 past 12, there's one entity which is supposed to. And we cannot say they must go. We must compromise ourselves not to do the follow-ups in order that they must not come here and say that we couldn't have chance to talk. I'm saying in front of honorable members, the appointed advisors, they must assist the secretariat to look at the depth of things when it was not by mistake that we agreed on the program. But if now we call everyone only one day, which is not a full day, it's not right. I'm saying that you must say your last words in order that you must give it to other visitors and e-members with due respect. When I'm not going to take follow-up calls, which means other people who are invited are not going to talk. I'm greeted, honorable members, because you see the situation, and very soon we will call them back. I've seen they are responding on my proposal.
Chairperson, I'm not going to ask an extra follow-up question. I just want to ask if they maybe can provide the committee with their sexual harassment policy. So, and also all the information around that case. We want to know whether the chairperson is actually a legal representative, how he came upon the... So if we can just get the background of everything, how many people were complaining and why is there such an uproar from the workers? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We have become accustomed as black people to be hearing about these leaders involved in sexual behavior, you know. And I think it's time that our leaders, you know, come up with the real issues as to how to deal with the problems that are basically hitting our kids. Look. The question is, what is it going to do? You know, while busy fighting about money and sex, while really there are terrible like situations of our kids that cannot even read and write in their mother tongue. This is very serious. You know, we really need to look at it this way. Yeah. Thank you, Chef.
Very important, and it's not your fault, and it's not members' fault, it's my office's fault to call everyone whilst we meet each other.
Ma'am, Chairperson, I think that let's not pile entities in one day. We're not doing our diligent work team now, firstly, because they must account, we must give them. I'll propose moving forward, we cannot have three entities in one day. We cannot, because you tend to ask me what you with your question, and I'm not doing myself a favor, and I'm killing myself. That's not me before going to account to my party. That's not me. They must account to us, and I'll propose one entity per day, or please.
Yes, second, what I'm saying, that it's an error, that we apologize to our visitors. To ambition of our office and really how many entities do we have? It's not before
that you can manage to answer. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think, as I proposed earlier on, I will prefer to give the members a full okay of the report with all the documentation so that members are able to look at where we come from, especially there was an issue around providing an overview. So we have taken note of all the questions and the concerns that we have. So on that basis, for note, Chairperson, I think we will be able to address all the issues, including an independent board, executive board, advisory board. So we will address that. The one that I would like to conclude with is the issue around the campaign, which is our core function. For popularizing the work of the National Library. Libraries, as you will know, is probably one of the oldest institutions in the whole of Africa. And it's got key areas which can assist us in terms of you know, supporting a reading nation and all that, which is part of our mandate. Part of our mandate is to make sure that the reading. And just for the members, as I said, I've got only 2 minutes left. We are part of the International Literacy Day. So these are some of the days that we use as a way of popularizing reading. We have also an opportunity. We will provide a list of the other members in where, so we will make sure that we provide that kind of information. We had an event in PD where we had a competition when the Department of Correctional Services is a partner to the library and the department in terms of their competition, in terms of the books and the like. So that's in a way trying to popularize the reading education. So in that note, I'd like to take this opportunity for at least giving you clear signals of what is required, and I will be able to provide members with a full roster of information. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. On that point that you landed with, and with the point of sexual harassment, we started 16 days of activism as these members, mothers and fathers, were seeing fathers who raped 10-year-olds, raped his own child, 10 years. So we can't take it very light. Make laws, we do that. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.